what's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We're partying here. We got Stockwatch coming up next, followed by In the Nuez. I've got a headline of the year candidate for you guys today.
I'm excited.
But we're going to begin our college football catwalk here in a moment. Before we do, might I ask this question?
Ask away.
Why do we have two Monday night games tonight?
I don't know. And they're not even like, it's not a doubleheader. They're just stacked. They're like 45 minutes.
Yeah, they overlap each other, which is really weird.
I don't know. This makes no sense to me.
I don't know what they're doing there.
I'm all for if you give me a doubleheader where you start one early and one late, but this is just two games going at the same time.
Do we watch these games? We've got Bills, Jags.
Well, one's on ABC, ESPN, and I don't know where the because that's the Bengals game. I don't know where the Bills game is.
Yeah, the Bengals are playing the Commies.
Is that Peacock, maybe?
I don't know.
I can look it up for you.
I'd like you to do that.
Yeah. Let me take a little look-see here for you. We got the Jags, and the that is on...
Playing the Bills.
Yeah, so that's going to be on ESPN, and then the Commanders, Bengals is on ABC and ESPN Plus. So both on ABC Network, or ABC ESPN Networks.
So they're going to be on ABC and ESPN at the same time?
Yes.
Oh.
So, mm-hmm.
A little Monday night flipping back and forth.
Yeah, so Jags-Bills kicks it off first. That'll be, what? Is that
4:30.
Yeah, 4:30, because that's Eastern time, 7:30. And then we got the Commies and the Bengals. That'll be at 5:15.
Which, all right.
Again, just seems... so stupid, but...
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing that. Okay, so to the college football catwalk, where we start with USC losing at Michigan. They lost.
That one hurts.
Yeah, the Wolverines with a whopping 32 pass yards, which is, they said, the fewest since 1987 for them.
Yeah. Well,
and they won.
What's amazing, and I will never... I've talked about this for years. I do not understand. That Alex Orji kid, by the way, was... That's like a five-star kid. Like, everyone in the country wanted him.
He threw seven passes.
He cannot throw the ball. Like, this started back, like, with the Tim Tebow. Like, Tebow wasn't this bad, but it stuns me. And that Orji kid is a unit. Dude, that dude is just a big physical monster. But he's not a quarterback. Like, how is that guy not a tight end or an outside linebacker? Like, it just stuns me that you have, and I'm not talking about guys that just can't play the position because it's very nuanced and you're not the greatest pocket guy. He literally cannot throw the football. How is that guy a five-star, like, can't-miss quarterback? That dude is awful. They didn't even attempt to throw the ball.
And everybody knows it.
Yeah.
That's what's kind of crappy about that loss for USC. It's like, come on, man.
They had
you lost that game. It was a good game.
Yeah, it was.
But, I mean... should you really lose that game? And listen, I get it. Michigan is tough. They run the ball well, and you're in the Big House. But should you really lose that game when you know the quarterback cannot throw the football? Well, Come on, man.
And that's disappointing because the USC defense was playing a lot better this year. And in the first half, Michigan punched them in the mouth, and USC got it going there in the second half, played much better defense, overcame the bad turnover pick six by Miller Moss. And again, Michigan has some studs. That Will Johnson's one of the best players in the country.
They do.
Guy made a great play. I mean, give him credit. But USC had fought back. They had that game. Michigan had like 2 minutes and some change to go the length of the field and their inability to throw. And USC gives up, what was that, a 60-yard run? I mean, come on. And the only thing I'll say that, because I know a lot of people were bagging on for that, when you do play a lot of bodies close to the line of scrimmage in these kind of jumbo formations, you see this a lot with goal line plays. I guess not goal line plays, but fourth and one where you have goal line formations out there. If you get by the first wave of defenders, there's room. You see a lot of times it'll be a third and one, fourth and one, and someone pops one. But if you're USC, you got to make that tackle. You run through two arm tackles. And I'm trying to think of Mullins, the converted linebacker. Again, that guy's like 235 pounds. Like, and you're trying to arm tackle him? Like, you've played good defense. You're doing a better job. And then at the worst moment, USC just decides to not tackle?
Well,
that's a killer.
We talked about this on Friday, but some of the metrics, a lot of the analytics people were saying, hey, be careful. USC's run defense is not as good as it looks on paper statistically. Yep. And that ended up being true. Alex Orji, by the way, is 10 of 18 for 47 yards.
Yeah, you can't throw.
2.6 average.
How does someone not sit down with that young man who's like 6'4", 230, 240, and be like, hey, would you like to be anything you want in the NFL besides a quarterback? Because you can't throw. And I promise you, you're not going to, in the next 2 years, you're not going from that to NFL quarterback. So can we please find you a better position? I don't know how Michigan wins with that kid, but hey, it was good. USC.
Well, he doesn't turn it over like the other kid did.
Yeah.
And USC couldn't stop the run.
Well, not only could they not stop the run, but look, I think USC is a 9-10 win team. USC is going to beat a lot of teams. They're an improved team. It's an improved defense, and they can score points. USC is going to be solid. Obviously, with that one there, certainly I don't think you can say that USC is elite, but that wasn't my biggest takeaway from this game, was their inability to stop the run. It was USC's offensive line. They could not block Michigan up front at all. And I know Michigan has a really good front, but oh my God, was it the Josiah Stewart, their rush end, number zero? Someone from USC might want to lay a hand on him. I mean, my God. I mean, that was such a giant mismatch. So, yes, USC has made strides. Yes, they've gotten better. But when push comes to shove, their O-line and their D-line will not hold up against the better teams. And when they play a better team that can throw the ball, USC is in some trouble. So while this is still a good team, it's a top 25 team, I thought this maybe is where USC kind of announced themselves as, hey, we're a real contender. Unfortunately, I think it's a big step back, not just because you lost the game, but the way you lost it. Mm-hmm. And up front, I just don't think you are anywhere near the Ohio States, what Oregon could be if what we saw against Oregon State was real. And even like kind of the Penn States of the world, and certainly the Texases and the Alabamas and the Georgias, you just don't have the bodies. And they got one 300-pound defensive lineman, and that's Bear Alexander. And by the way, since coming over from Georgia, let me give two thumbs, meh. And he was tweeting out after the game. Did you see that? He's tweeting out, like, let the bear loose. Let the bear loose, do something. Like, you came over, you were supposed to be this monster for that USC defense, and he's been fine, but that dude's not an All-American.
So we once again overrated USC.
Yes. I thought they were going to take a step forward, and instead, I don't know if it's a giant step back, but it's a good step
back. We do it every year. It's like clockwork.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
USC.
Yeah.
Better than we think. Or we make them better than they are. Notre Dame's the same.
Yeah, you can be.
Although Notre Dame's backed it up way more than USC.
I was skeptical about USC, and then they sucked me in again. And then, sure enough, Charlie Brown football.
Why is it that USC specifically sucks us in? Is it them? Is it just because of the history of the program?
History of the program. We know there's a lot of talent there. And Lincoln Riley is a proven. Like, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, and USC should have much better talent than Oklahoma. Dude, the guy won Heisman trophies. Two of them at Oklahoma. One of them with Caleb Williams at USC. That guy can coach offense. And you just kind of figure, dude, if they just get a guy that can come in and fix the defense, and it feels like they got someone that made the defense better, I just don't think that the Jims and Joes there, I think schematically, it's much better. I just don't think that they've got asses along that line that can compete with the big boys.
Well, Michigan will certainly expose that.
Yes.
I mean, that's one school that can get you up front.
So. I was embarrassed for the USC offensive line and pass protection. And this is the one thing, because I think Lincoln Riley's a really, really smart coach. I am often stunned at the inability or the unwillingness to try to mitigate pass rush when your O-line clearly can't.
Try to help your guys out?
Yes.
Well, Oregon did it, you know, against Oregon State, helped their, you know, move the pocket a little bit.
Too many times I saw Miller Moss back there and they're like, hey, this is what we're, you know, this is the way our protection works. And it's like, hey, you can't block. There was at least three matchups on any dropback that USC really didn't stand much of a chance. And when you do that, I'm actually surprised USC played as well as they did offensively.
Well, they still came back and should have won the game.
Should have won the game.
I mean, that's what's crazy about it.
That's what I said. I'm surprised with how well they actually did, especially in the second half, considering just the giant mismatch that was along the lines.
All right, well, fight on. Coming up next, it's time for Stock Watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports put together by the great Ryan Buckley, when we return on The Fan.
It's primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Sue buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, Buckley is back in the saddle. He was out at the Sun River Stay and Play. Well, out at a Sun River Stay and Play.
Correct.
He's calling it the best deal in the state of Oregon.
Best golf deal, I think.
He played 5 rounds of golf.
You haven't been to the Fairway Village $11 special, have you?
I should probably check that out, too.
Come on.
Got housed with his buddies.
Not incorrect.
Any shenanigans we need to know about?
Oh, I mean, yeah, there were lots of shenanigans. Let's see. There was a cart girl who, within about 3 minutes of pulling up to our carts, offered to whip out the up tops for a fee.
Oh, that even
was
better.
Hey now.
Yeah.
How about that? What's the going rate on that nowadays?
$100, she said.
Wow.
Whoa.
I mean, she thinks she's got some marks here. You're out there playing at Crosswater, which is mostly private unless you do this deal.
Yeah. You are captive, because where else are you going to see?
$100. You're out in the middle of nowhere. She also tried to talk us into going to some karaoke, like, multiple towns away. It seemed all bad.
Inflation is killing us.
Wow.
Well, I thought maybe $40 to do it, a couple 20s. Apparently not.
You know what? I bet it could have been negotiated.
Sure.
We didn't try, though.
Here's 40. Well, she'd probably just take your 40.
Yeah.
And then...
Maybe.
Maybe 40 for one.
Not show you anything.
You know?
I don't know. I got the feeling that was going to be the first step, and then there were going to be other offers after that.
It's called an upsell.
Yeah. Well, let's start in the realm of college football. And before we get into this, obviously I wasn't here Thursday, Friday. Did you guys talk about K-State guy and his burrito?
No.
K-State guy and his
burrito. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, this is going to have to be discussed at length.
Wow.
On Wednesday, a Kansas State superfan who goes by St. Bill Snyder, he tweeted, much like the Florida State Red Solo Cup guy, slightly different, that if K-State loses to BYU, they did, that he would shove a Taco Bell beefy 5-layer burrito
right in the butt.
No.
Yeah. He pinned the tweet, and as the game began to unfold on Saturday night, well, let's take you to the audio clip first, because it wasn't looking so good for Kansas State in the first place, and then this happened.
On Simon McLennan, averaging 42 yards a boot on 10 kicks, sends a low driver to Kingston. He bobbled it! Kingston recovers it inside his 10, running away from tacklers to the far side of the field. Now the 10, the 15, the 20, the 25, the 30, convoy down the sideline, midfield 45-40, 35-30, oh my goodness, he's going to go!
Just how we do it up.
No, and the crowd just sets in. The environment is electric. There's nothing that Kansas State can do to stop this momentum right now.
So this man's Twitter claim beforehand got so much traction that even the BYU social media team posted Liv Moss after their win, knowing that the K-State fan was going to have to take that burrito and put it
right in the butt.
So let's take a look at Burrito Man's timeline. He says in the first quarter, we're going to be just fine. Then his next tweet is, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. The next tweet is, I'm heading to Taco Bell. Then they kick the field goal down 31-6. He said 8 more field goals wins us this thing. He then tweets, I'm so cooked, bro. And then he tweets a video of him walking in his house, dropping a bag on his counter, pulling a burrito out of that bag, and putting that burrito into the freezer.
Oh, scared me there.
He didn't do that. He's not going to do that.
There's no way.
He's then since tweeted, in talks with Taco Bell execs, we're going to make college football history. And then today, or I guess this is last night, he tweeted, Saturday 9/28, I pay the bet at 9:30 p.m. Buy or sell, no. Kansas State man has the courage to do what the Red Solo Cup man could not.
No. Sell.
No, he's not doing it.
He won't do that.
So what's afoot here? What's going to happen then?
But wait a minute. What is?
He's just going to say that he did it. You can't show that.
Right. OnlyFans is a thing.
Right. Can you, well, how big is this burrito? I'm not a big Taco Bell guy.
I'm looking at the beefy five-layer burrito.
It's sizable enough.
I'm guessing we're looking probably about 8 inches. And
how much girth?
You know, like maybe two Polish sausages around.
No chance. And by the way,
maybe a big Polish sausage.
Can we talk logistics here?
Well, the frozen is the key. You gotta.
He's
got to freeze.
Yeah, that's why he put it in.
The joke was he has to do that to pay the punishment.
Okay,
you
that makes
freeze
sense.
It.
All right. No, he will not do that.
He's not.
No chance.
It.
I wouldn't think so either. No. But he's certainly getting a lot of traction out of this.
We have got to stop.
Yeah, with this.
Yeah, the no upside proclamation.
Yeah, we're eating poo. We're shoving burritos.
Just stop it. Yeah. You don't need to say that.
No.
Just say, hey, if my Kansas State Wildcats lose to BYU, I will be sad.
Yes.
And put maybe a sad face emoji on it.
There you go.
You don't need to say you're going to shove something in your ass. What is the matter with people?
Because it's one thing, like, you didn't see any of that game. No, we took.
I saw a lot of that game.
We took a behind the woodshed.
Oh, I didn't see any of it.
It was a beatdown.
I saw the final score.
It was so weird. Like, it was like 10-6, and then just weird as started happening. And more importantly, can we talk about the Whites? Can we talk about the Whites?
Also, can we talk about the fact BYU has a Jewish quarterback?
Would you get his name right, please? It's the Huckin' Hebrew, damn it, and we talked about him last year.
I heard people were calling him BY Jew.
No. I like the Huckin' Hebrew.
God.
My man Retzlaff back there.
Could you mix in a black?
Guys!
Soon-to-be-ranked 4-0 BYU Cougars led by the Huckin' Hebrew, taking down those ninnies from the Little Apple.
He was holding up a shirt with either a friend or a brother, and he was promoting the hashtag BYJew.
Mm. Well, I think that's great.
Yeah.
But when you say, can we talk about the white? What do you mean? Like the team?
Well, they had a white out.
Oh.
And they wore the uniforms that I wore when we got there, the originals, like the old school all whites.
Oh.
It was a white out. Led by the Huckin' Hebrew and that kid that ran back the muff punt. Guess what? He was white too.
Also, good question on the Vancouver 4 text line. Would Rop's doctor friend be able to talk him through how to extract the burrito?
Yes. Well, I mean, not if it's lodged.
Yeah, plus frozen, you're going to get some sharp edges. That's not happening. Don't
yeah,
do that.
I have a surgeon buddy who, this is what he does.
Yeah,
he takes things out of people's rectums.
You don't need to be inserting anything because your team lost.
It's amazing we need a person for that, you know?
Just stop
it. Yeah, it's just, it is stupid.
It's a game. And let's be honest. Kansas State isn't that good, and I got to tell you something. BYU's not that good either, okay? We're all going to lose some games this year, and no one needs to be violated because of it.
Let's move over to a little conference.
Go Cougs.
Hell yeah.
And by the way, before you get to that,
sure.
You were not here Friday. He poo-pooed BYU's chances in the Big 12.
I said,
and now look.
I said, if they beat Kansas State, we'll talk about it. And all of a sudden, something tells me Utah will bitch slap us. But hey, we're riding high right now with the whiteout. The whites.
So Utah BYU is back?
Yeah, they're in the Big 12.
Well, I know.
When's that game?
It's actually weird because you would think it's the last game of the year. It's not. It's like there's like four after it. So I want to say it's like in either end of October, beginning of November.
But you don't play every team in the Big 12. Like, the Big 12 has a bunch of teams now.
Yeah, but the BYU and Utah
will play every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
They put the rivalry back together, essentially.
They got back-to-back. They got at Utah and then home to the Jayhawks.
Dude, November. Trust me, you don't need to worry about the Jayhawks. They're absolute warmed over garbage.
You don't have.
And
BYU.
You know what? If they lose again, I'm going to shove a burrito in my ass.
I would tell you what. I am wearing my BYU shirt today. I didn't even plan that.
Right in the butt.
I just spilled on the sweatshirt I was wearing, and it was really hot. If there was a BYU Jew shirt, I would 100% buy that thing.
BYU Jew.
I bet we can find them.
You said BYU Jew.
Well, BYU Jew. Yes. Sorry.
So you get it? It's like
yes, I.
Jew replaces the U.
I understand. I think I just misspoke. I still like the Huckin' Hebrew better. Ooh.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Let's go over to the conference realignment talk. This is UTSA head coach Jeff Traylor, who famously gave us the...
It would have killed a lesser man.
...drop. And he's talking about conference realignment here.
Well, Dr. Campos is more privy to that information than I am, but her and I have talked quite a bit the last few days about that. And obviously, you know, we're committed to the league we're in, and we're very grateful for the AAC, but we had to listen to people that want to talk to us. And I just think it has to make sense for us. Obviously, geographically, it might not be as aligned as the AAC is, but financially, what does that look like for us? You know, we're a program that's only been playing ball for 13 years. Most of our limitations are strictly just that. We have a booster base that's very loyal. They help us. There's just not a lot of us because we haven't been around very long. Mm-hmm. So it's the same people always having to do the most. And if you have the ability to go somewhere that can expedite the growth of a 13-year program, you've got to listen to it. So what does that look like for us? The details, one, she'd kill me if I said it, but two, she's got to be the one to decide that. And obviously President Amy, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Right.
And I'm just not for sure what that looks like exactly yet, but I do know that that is a real conversation that's happening as we speak.
So we obviously know that UTSA, one of the schools that has reaffirmed its commitment to the AAC. But I saw something interesting today from a Coug fan crying conspiracy theory from the networks. They said, in my conspiracy theory era, ESPN controlling playoff access feels like a big angle here. They own the AAC. They can't let some interlopers come along and devalue their product, then be forced to reward their champion or their conference champion for it. Buy or sell that it's the networks pulling the strings on these conference realignment deals.
I love conspiracy theories.
Is that bad of a conspiracy theory, though?
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, so I thought the networks were in charge.
They are in charge, but you're telling me that ESPN is just secretly giving Texas San Antonio more money to stay put?
No, they're telling them, go back and stay put. It'll be more financially beneficial for you in the long run. You're not going to like what happens if you go the other way.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose you could, but they already signed their TV right deal for $9 million. Is it also that hard to figure out that the Pac-12 at $10 million or the AAC at $9 million, and the AAC is already established, you know who your leadership is, they're selling a future of private equity and all these different initiatives that they're going to do, as opposed to packing up and going from Texas with a bunch of teams from and having to fly out west on a regular basis for not much more money for a big unknown? Is it that hard to believe that these teams just looked at that and were like, no, there's not much of a difference here? Like, if Oregon were going to the Big Ten and the difference was $1.5 million a year, would they have gone? No.
Probably not worth it, right?
Are the conferences playing a big role in this? Absolutely. Do I buy that they're the ones that made these teams stay? Did they also get involved in UNLV? I mean, does it say something that UNLV, Air Force, and the four AAC schools all told you no on the same day? I mean, come on. It's not that attractive. It's just not.
Yeah,
merge with the Mountain West and be done with it.
Yeah, I would sell. I mean, I don't think the conspiracy theory is that outlandish.
No,
it's not
either.
Even really a conspiracy theory.
No.
It's just a theory as to why this may be happening, and that could be true, but I don't buy it. I'm going to sell this and say that I just don't think the networks really care that low down the totem pole, do they?
No.
I think the thought is that if they control most of the AAC media, they don't want people leaving and devaluing the conference that they've already paid for, you know?
Yeah, all right.
Well, let's move over to the NFL, where the upstart Seahawks are 3-0. Here is head coach Mike McDonald.
I'm glad we won today. It's like, yeah, we got a long way to go. It's a long season. We got a big game coming up. We're not talking about like division. Our first goal is to win each game, and the next goal is to get in the dance. Then the next goal is to win the division. So we're a long way away from there. So we can help our chances again next week if we go to Detroit and get a win.
Well, between the 3-0 start and now more news coming out about the 49ers injury situations, they've lost Javon Hargrave for the season due to torn triceps, and now Christian McCaffrey going to Germany to get his Achilles looked at. Buy or sell, the Seahawks will win the NFC West.
No, I'm still thinking it's the Niners. I know the Niners don't look great right now, but offensively, they still have it cooking, even without all those guys. You know, if you look at most advanced metrics, the Niners are still a top five offense. And until I see the McCaffreys out for the year, Ayuk should continue to get better. Debo's going to get healthy. Defensive side of the ball is the one I'm a little more concerned with. Their defense is a little spotty, and Seattle looks really good. They haven't played a lot of people, and I liked Seattle. I said this was a playoff team. This was a 10-win team. San Francisco has owned the Seahawks lately, so I don't like making any sort of radical shifts 3 weeks into the season. Seattle's good. They're not going anywhere, but I'm not ready to write off a team like San Francisco, who, by the way, we've seen weird, funky starts from them, and all they do is continue to win. So, and by the way, they should have won that game. 100%, they should have won that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a weird start to the Niners, but I'm not ready to make any sort of shifts.
If the Seattle Seahawks do not win the NFC West, I will shove a burrito in my butt.
What kind of burrito?
No, don't.
How about a taquito?
Don't,
I think that's
that.
A little more reasonable.
No, I'm just kidding.
Takiyako.
Hey, I'll take Seattle. Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
my Seahawks.
Well, I think that coach is really good.
Yes.
I really do. And, you know, yes, it's early and we shouldn't panic about the Niners, but at the same time, the Rams are a mess injury-wise, even though they won that game. I mean, come on. The Rams aren't going to win that division. They don't have any players.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a win.
Yeah, it was.
But it was kind of fluky, like you said. The Niners should have won that. And then, the Cardinals aren't winning it. I think that Seattle, it's going to come down to, like, the head-to-head against San Francisco. You catch them. I think they catch them here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And if you can get that one, dude, you're already up three on them.
Yeah, look out.
So I'm going to go Seattle.
I love it.
My Seahawks.
Oh, come on.
Win the NFC West and Geno Smith.
My Geno Smith?
My favorite quarterback, Geno Smith, and Sam Howell, will be shoving burritos in their ass. I don't know.
As long as you're ready to admit that Geno Smith is good.
He is not good, but he is playing well.
He's good.
He's playing well.
He's good.
But look, I'm the one that has the courage to say Seattle's going to win the division.
That is true.
Okay, yeah. So let's...
I need to see something besides the
Broncos,
get
your courage
Patriots,
meter
Dolphins. That's all I'm saying.
Well, next week at Detroit.
Yeah, Lions. And then Giants, and then that Niners game.
Stockwatch brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the news is next. We've got a headline of the year candidate. Here's Buck. All right, nice to have you along. Cruising on a Monday. Right now, it is September 23rd, 2024. It is time for In the News. I am your Notre Newsman. Hello, thank you. Thank you so much. Today is National Checkers Day. Which came first, chess or checkers? Does anybody have the answer to that question?
I'm guessing checkers.
I would also guess checkers, but I don't know that to
be
true.
It's like the difference between Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. Simple comes first. Checkers.
It was actually chess.
Oh. Okay.
And the guy, there was a Frenchman who decided that chess was too hard, and so he played checkers on the chess board.
Oh, there you go. See, again, there's...
That's my kind of guy.
Can't figure out this whole chess thing. Let's just make this thing up. I always thought, like, chess and checkers were some sort of ancient Chinese thing.
No? Well, I don't know about chess, but checkers is not.
Okay.
Yeah, the oldest form of checkers was played around 3000 BCE.
It's a long time ago. Again, it seems a very simple game.
And here's a bit of a stunner. It was found by archaeologists in an ancient city called Ur in Iraq.
Oh, hey.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
How about that claim to fame?
Iraq's got a, or is it Iraq? They have a wonderful history. If you go back far
enough. What is the coolest thing about Iraq?
A lot of people think it was the Garden of Eden.
Or Iraq.
If you want to go that. They have some of like the oldest like biblical artifacts in the world. Steeped in tradition.
Okay. Take your word for it.
Yeah.
It is also Restless Leg...
Careful.
Restless Leg Awareness Day.
I love that we have like medication for restless leg syndrome. It's like, hey, just shove this pill down your face, you'll be fine.
What is restless leg syndrome?
Yeah, we just got the little jittery leg. Never had like the leg shakes.
I've seen that, but I've also been told that, I mean, I know, like, Meatball has that, but I've been told that that's not restless leg syndrome. That's just like a little anxious movement. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think that's kind of the same thing. It's a neurological thing that causes, it's an uncontrollable, like, urge, right? Like,
I just think it's, there's a difference between it being a nerve thing where your leg does that and you can't help it. And you being just anxious, and so you're just nervous.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. You know, just like, because I do that sometimes.
Well, I think this is more at night. Like, if you've ever, I mean, it's a bad example, but like, if you've ever gone through withdrawals from anything, you get this. Where you just like, you've never laid in bed and you just feel like you just want to kick your legs. You cannot calm down. Like, there's just an urge to sit there and just, like I said, you end up like just kicking your legs like violently because you just need to move. It's a really, really weird feeling. I don't think I've ever had like traditional like restless leg syndrome, but like when I was injured and I would take pain pills and then I would have to go off the pain pills, I would get bad restless leg syndrome at night. And it's a terrible feeling.
In the news here, brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Headline of the year candidate, this from KGW. It reads, man arrested for crashing into Gresham home while driving under the influence, eating chicken, and watching ESPN.
Boy, that is a hell of a headline. So you're watching some football games, housed, driving, while eating some, maybe some Popeye tendies?
I'm going to guess chicken. He got housed. He decided he was going to go home and drove against his better judgment, but he was hungry, picked up the chicken, and also didn't want to miss the game, and that's how we got there.
Well, do we know what game? Like, this was Saturday night, shortly after midnight.
He's probably watching BYJ.
Yeah.
He must have been, like, there was no other, that was the latest game.
That was the latest game. Yeah.
The Cougs were really late. Oh, that was Friday. You're right.
Oh. Yeah, that was Friday.
Cougs was Friday. Yeah,
so this, shortly after midnight, September 21st, officers responded to reports of a Toyota Prius crashing into the bedroom of an apartment on Southwest 4th and Birdsdale Drive. Seven people were inside the apartment, and one was in the bedroom at the time of the crash. The driver was a man by the name of Billy Holt. He did show signs of impairment.
You think?
And admitted to drinking. He also told officers that he was eating chicken and watching ESPN on his celly.
Boy, that is a lot going on in a Prius.
Yeah.
Between the drinking, the chicken, and the ESPN, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's really all we know about Billy.
Yeah.
Well, but he probably wasn't a BYU fan.
I wouldn't think so.
You know, because you all don't drink.
Well, I'm a BYU fan. You like to drink? I like to drink.
I guess that's true.
Don't paint us all with that broad brush.
Well, you're not a Mormon. He could be a Jack Mormon. Well,
what if he's a Jew? What if he's a fan of BYU? Huh?
He's probably more likely a Kansas State fan.
That would be my guess. And then he was depressed after the hammering that the whiteout was putting on him. So you get housed, and then we know when you get housed, then you want chicken, and then you think maybe my team has a comeback in them, and next thing you know, you're driving into an apartment.
Look, none of that is funny.
No.
But it probably would be funny to see the video of how that went down.
I would like to also see him explain watching that to the officer.
Yeah.
Well, see,
officer. I love how forthcoming he was. Like, yeah, I was eating chicken watching ESPN. What? What?
Told you. My buddy is a state trooper, pulled over a guy at like 2 in the morning, buck naked. The guy thought it was 2 in the afternoon. Not 2 in the morning, and when my buddy asked him if he had anything to drink, he said no. And when he asked him if he had taken any drugs, the guy immediately goes, yep. So again, you know, sometimes you just, you're not talking your way out of that one. You know, mine at that point just come
pays
on,
to be honest.
Just pays to be honest and take take your arrest and
fight
another day.
We have more flight troubles.
Another one.
This one's Hawaiian Airlines. And it landed at PDX. We'll tell you what happened with this one next on The Fan. I see you see me. Hall & Oates, they're just delightful, aren't they? You're making a scene. Oh, girl. Da-da-ba. Hey, this is in the news, September 23, 2024. Hawaiian Airlines Flight 26 from Honolulu landed at Portland International Airport Thursday night. After a passenger's damaged tablet released smoke into the cabin.
Are we like the hub of emergency landings?
Well, it does seem that way, but this was not an emergency landing.
It's not?
No, it was. I think it was. It was bound for Portland. They just made it.
Oh, they just made it.
So this is a win for me. This is a feather in my cap.
Keep going, right?
As the one who says, always just keep going if you can. Don't turn around.
Makes sense.
So there were no injuries. They said it was not an unscheduled emergency landing. The plane landed safely. So it was just a kind of a hazardous situation up there with that guy's tablet.
Right there. It does seem weird. Is that really an emergency? Like, if a tablet starts smoking...
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't you just...
I think smoke in the cabin is bad.
Yeah, but it's not like...
I mean, we used to smoke in there.
I know, it's a little smoke. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's ideal, but... I mean, a smoky tablet?
Yeah, this kind of seems like an on story, doesn't it?
A little bit. You know, it's not like it was like, this isn't over like with old Hezbollah or whatever, where they've got pagers and stuff blowing up. It's a tablet. You know, it ran a little hot or, you know, some faulty wiring, it smoked a little bit. Can't you just turn it off? And then, I don't know, worst comes to worst, I don't know, you put it in some water or something, put out the fire. Although I don't know if you want to do that with electronics, but just saying, at that point, it kind of seems like the tablet's gone tease up.
Why is the ravine dive shockingly survivable? This is something we've talked about before.
The ravine dive?
Well, you know, when cars go over, we just talked about this last week.
Well, cars are sturdy, man. You got a lot of airbags and, you know, depending on how far you go down.
Well, here's one, 150 feet.
That seems like a long way to go. But again, you got to remember, there's a difference between going 150 feet Thelma and Louise style and 150 feet where if you're just like kind of, you know, bumping and
kind of off-roading your way down there.
Yeah, pulling an aha video, you know, just kind of bumper bowling your way down a hill.
Especially if you're in a 4Runner.
Exactly.
So it's made for.
You want a sturdy vehicle.
Like a driver.
Prius.
A driver was rescued after their vehicle plunged into a ravine off of I-84 near Hood River Saturday. Officers responded to the area of milepost 63 on 84 westbound on reports that a vehicle had driven off the highway and down into the ravine.
Yeah. See, I think that's the key. You drove off and you went down the ravine.
But
you didn't jump it.
I get that. But at the same time, and the guy survived.
Yeah.
At the same time, you don't know what's down there.
No.
Like, you're so... Like, this is the third story in a row where we've read, you know, we've read these, and the person's fine.
The key is you don't hit a tree. Because, like, that's like what happened with Tiger. Tiger started rolling down that hill, and then he hit a tree. As long as you're just through the brush, and you just, you know, you get to settle at the bottom. But if you hit a tree going down that thing, or you hit, like, a big boulder...
But what if you start toppling over?
See that? Then, again, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So the key is no toppling and
so
aim for the bushes.
It's just all luck.
It's just dumb luck. It's just dumb luck. When we...
One was overturned.
Yeah.
It was on its top and it had fallen around 150 feet.
Well, when we were driving back my senior year at BYU, I had graduated and we were driving back home, me and the missus and our daughter. And we had a tire blowout and we rolled our car at about 80, 85 miles an hour. And we ended up rolling, I don't know, 5-6 times before we came to a stop. Same sort of thing. We came to a rest in a nice, soft dirt field. Like, and granted, it sucked. I mean, a bunch of glass in my face and the dirt and everything. But, like, where we started rolling, about 10 feet from where we started rolling was just big, jagged rock field. Mm. And about 15 to 20 feet from where we came to a stop was a big overpass kind of bridge. You know, we're couple feet one way and you're effed, and a couple the other and you're effed, and it just so happens you got lucky and we ended up in a nice soft dirt field.
You know what that is?
What?
The Lord.
If I have to hear that one more,
looking out for you.
Yeah, we heard that a lot. Although it would have been nice that he just not had the tire blow out.
Nah, but the Lord works in mysterious ways, Jason.
I have been told that so many times after that accident, and I just never understood the...
John.
Can you just not have my tire blow out and save us the trouble of rolling?
No, it's not that simple.
I needed the lesson.
It's not that simple.
The tire blowout.
You need a little glass in your face
to
get it.
It was not the funnest thing I've had.
The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com, they bring you in the news, and that is ITN for September 23, 2024. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. We've got a lot of news today, including, if you're just tuning in, a lot of news about Pac-12 realignment next on The Fan.